Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
So there's two contexts of scripture that I want to look at today. And both are basically similar in their own way. So if you can turn me to Matthew chapter 10. Take this walk with me. And just to give you just a little brief history here, but this is Jesus sending out his 12 disciples, right? And as he sends them out, he's giving them a little talk. And I kind of like to think of this as, you know, when a football coach is giving their team that little pep talk before they head out to the field for the big game. This is what Jesus is doing. He's kind of giving them this thought, like letting them know, like, as you go out, this is what you need to do. This is what's going to happen. But he's preparing them. He's preparing them for basically persecution. So I just want to focus more near the end of chapter 10. I'm not going to read all the verses that are there. But this is Jesus having a discussion, right? And he's having a discussion with as he's preparing them for persecution. He says these things. He says, be on your guard against men, because they will hand you over to their local councils and flock. He also says, you'll be brought before governors and kings. But when they arrest you, don't worry about what you're going to say, because at that time you'll be given what to say. It won't be you speaking, but it'll be your Heavenly Father speaking through you, through the Holy Spirit. He says, brother will betray a brother. Father will betray his child. Children will rebel against their parents. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm until the end will be saved. He also says, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But where I want to focus on is verse 37 to 39, where it says, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So that's the first part. Let's hold on to that one. Now I just want to jump over to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verses 24 to 26. I'll read from the Amplified Version. But it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith. For whoever wishes to save his life in this world will eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. That is, life with me for all eternity. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, wealth, fame, success, but forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And when Jesus presented this picture to his disciples of his followers and taking up their cross and following him, I believe that disciples were they knew what he meant, but they were still terrified. They must have been terrified, especially when it comes to crucifixion, because in those days, in those Roman times, the cross was seen as a terrifying object of torture, suffering, and execution. And condemned criminals had to carry their crosses through the streets to the execution site. So can you imagine seeing someone walking down the road carrying a cross? You just knew that it was death day, right? But this is the same thing that Jesus went through when he was arrested. He was brutally beaten, he was whipped, and still had to carry his cross. But what Jesus is trying to present to them or point out here through these two contexts of scripture is that following him is not easy. Right? It's not easy. There's something that you'll have to sacrifice. There's something that you'll have to give up. You have to deny yourself. The cost of following him involves a true commitment, and one that could involve a risk of death, but there's no turning back. And for the disciples, the possibility of losing their lives became real. It became real, and they found out, oh, follow you, and this is what's going to happen. You see, real discipleship involves a real commitment. Now, I know we don't go around physically carrying crosses on our backs, but the cross is more of a symbolic reference to your relationship with Jesus. So for us, the cross of Christ became relevant to you and I the day that we accepted Christ. Right? So the day when you made the decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you now took on the cross. You now bear that cross, and that cross is yours to carry. And you now identify as a follower of Christ. Is that cough I was talking about? So the cross, your cross, is not only has to do with your public identification with Jesus, but it also represents the commitment that you now have with him. Because you see, to bear your cross is to endure hardship, specifically because you're a visible and verbal follower of Christ. But if you're willing to, if you're not willing to do that, then you're basically unworthy of Christ, right? And that's not my words, that's what Jesus said, right? That whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me, right? But in order to take up our cross, in order to take up your cross, the first thing, as he says, you gotta do is deny yourself. Denying yourself. Again, not something easy to do because a lot of times we kind of think of ourselves first, right? Especially, you know, when we go by feelings. I don't feel like doing something. I don't feel like doing this today, right? And especially when it comes to ministry. I know I'm not the only one. But, you know, I can remember like when I was doing youth ministry, there were times where I felt like just canceling service on a Friday, you know? And it more had to do maybe just with a long work day, you know, because working day and you got to come and do ministry, it's a lot. It's a lot. Or it could have been personal issues, you know? Or basically it just wasn't feeling, right? Just keeping it real with you. Just keeping it real with you. Right? We tend to get in those feelings that we don't want to do something. But just about every time that thought kind of crossed my mind, the Holy Spirit brought me back to this scripture. So can you imagine? Can you imagine if I got up today and I said, oh, I don't feel like speaking? Right? Service would probably been over like after tomorrow did the announcements. Right? Or what if Tricia and Heather said, oh, they don't feel like playing today? Well, we probably would have had Pastor Hugh doing acoustic worship, right? But what I'm trying to say is when we go by those feelings, we then reject or we turn away from what God wants to do with us. Because the thing you got to remember is it's ministry, but it's not our ministry. It's not our ministry. It's God's ministry. He just puts you in place to fulfill his purpose, right? So you're not a true follower if you think of yourself first. Because the whole goal is to think of yourself last or not even think of yourself at all. And there's this Greek word that describes deny, but it comes from the word which is arnioma, which means to forget oneself entirely and reject any thought of doing what will please ourselves rather than God. So instead of gratifying ourselves or indulging in our sinful nature, we are called to deny ourselves. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, and that's rejecting anything and everything that will get in the way of offering ourselves for God's service. So again, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves. And by doing this, we are following his example. Right? Because when in becoming a man, Jesus denied himself the glories of heaven. Right? In fulfilling the law, he denied himself the pleasures of sin. And in dying on the cross, he denied himself protection from pain. Not just physical pain, but also the spiritual anguish of being forsaken by his Father. And as Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, we too have to do the work that God has called us to do. We have to do that same work. We have to forget what's going on in our lives and focus on him. Focus on what he has called us to do. Okay? Now, I can't imagine, or I sometimes think, like, what would cause someone to literally, like, put down the cross? What would cause someone to, you know, say, oh, they give up or walk away from this? Because I know things get hard. Things get hard. And I remember saying to Quiet, this might have been like end of 2020 or early last year, but I remember saying to her, I said, you know, and this is based on what the Holy Spirit was saying to me, but I said to her, you know, there's some that won't stand after all of this. Meaning through the pandemic, there's some that won't stand through all of this. And to more clarify that, it means that there's some that won't stay committed to this relationship with Jesus. And over the last couple of years, I've been hearing about or reading about people who have given up on the faith and just walked away from God. I mean, some of them kind of give their explanation, you know, through video, whatever, but some don't really offer an explanation at all. And here's, I'll just name a few people. Maybe you know them, maybe not. But in 2020, John Steingart, he's the lead vocalist for Hawk Nelson, which is a Canadian Christian rock band. he announced on Instagram, "I no longer believe in God." And he explained it didn't happen overnight. But he says one reason he gave up on his faith was his support for legalized same-sex marriage. In 2021, Paul Maxwell, who is a famous writer, he wrote the book Desiring God. He renounced his faith in Jesus. And Maxwell was a high-profile preacher with a PhD. And despite writing several books, he announced in 2021 on his Instagram that he was no longer a Christian. And he also went on to further say, "It feels really good. I'm really happy." And this one really hit me. Just early this year, legendary Christian hip hop artist Fanatic, whose real name is Brady Goodwin, was one of the founding members of the Christian rap group Cross Movement. He announced that he is no longer a Christian and no longer believes in the Bible. He mentioned in this Facebook video, "I sent a letter to my church withdrawing my membership and saying that I am denouncing the Christian faith that I believed, professed, proclaimed, and defended for the last 30 years of my life. 30 years, and you're now saying, I give up on this. I'm walking away from this." So this one really hurt me because this was one of the groups that I really found when I, you know, first started my Christian walk, you know, especially to know that it was Christian hip hop. It was like another alternative to what I was listening to. And I'd be playing the music like a lot, you know, rock with all their albums, you know, it just opened a new door for me. So when I heard this, I was like, wow. 30 years and you just give up like that. Like I said, I know times get hard. Life hits. But when there's so much going on in your life, trying to balance things, I don't know how you could just walk away from God and think that's the easy solution. Because Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. But take courage. Take courage. But again, we know that this is just the enemy. That he's just come to bring confusion. But for you to walk away from God means that you have forgotten what God has done for you.
All right.
So to you all, I say, we can't forget. We can't forget that God loves us. He is the definition of love. 1 John 4, it says, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." We can't forget that he loves us and he gave us his only son. Right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And we can't forget that through Jesus, we are free from sin and we have life. Right? John 10, verse 10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came." Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And the interesting thing, like I found out with reading these scriptures, is just before he told them about denying himself, taking the cross upon him, he kind of tells them that, you know, I'm going to be suffering from something. In both passages, when you read that, just before he tells them that, tells them that you're going to suffer these things. So we here today who are followers of Christ know that, yes, there will be suffering. Yes, there will be hardship. Yes, there'll be disappointments. There'll be discouragements. But you made that decision. You made that decision to take up your cross and follow. That when it comes to doing anything for him, we can't let feelings get in the way. We kind of have to put that aside so that God can do the work that needs to be done. I'll close with this. Here's just something that I want to leave you with today, is that Jesus stayed committed. He stayed committed in fulfilling the work of his Heavenly Father. He knew the disappointment he would face from the people. He knew the pain and suffering that he was going to endure. And he knew that this would cost him his life. But he was committed to doing the work of his Father. He didn't give up. So because he was committed, we too have to be committed. And we can say that Christ redeemed our sinful state. We also too have to be as committed as Jesus was. That if we say we are truly followers of Christ, then we can't allow discouragements and hardships, world issues, or anything else to allow us to put down our crosses. So when it comes to commitment, and staying committed to Christ, there's three things I want to leave you with. It's that commitment relies on serving our Savior. Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. The second thing is commitment requires obedience solely to the Spirit. Denying our sinful desires and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the third thing is commitment reaches others to save souls. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but if God is speaking to you, that maybe there is something. Maybe there's something he's asked you to do. Something that you've held back on. Maybe he's been knocking on your door for quite some time. But you maybe kept saying, oh, I'm not ready, or I don't feel like doing that right now. But what I want you to know, that God loves you. God loves you. He cares for you. He wants the best for you. And he has called you. He's called you to fulfill his purpose. But the question is, how committed are you? How committed are you to him? Are you committed to know that there'll be discouragements along the way? Are you committed to know that you're gonna go through some hardships? There'll be some suffering. There'll be a lot. It's not gonna be easy. I've said this before, but this faith walk ain't no cakewalk. But if you're truly a follower of Christ, then you'll be obedient to what he has called you to do. So right where you are, as God is speaking to you, I pray that you'll move in obedience. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we know that you love us so much. God, you know our hearts. You know the things, Father God, that have come into our lives.